The disciples are despairing. They are scattered and confused. For they have witnessed the death of their great hope, their teacher, their friend. In tonight's story, we hear that two have decided to walk away from the scene of violence, to walk away from Jerusalem, to walk away from Jesus. As they walk, they talk, and Jesus comes alongside them, but they don't recognize him. Yet something in the man leads them to tell him about their discouragement and the dashing of all their hopes. They've been following a man they thought would overthrow the oppressors and restore Israel. Instead, he was crucified, and Israel remains under Roman control. The stranger rebukes them for their lack of understanding. He explains that Messiah, the Christ, had to suffer and die, had to take on the violence willingly in order to transform the world. And then he interprets the scriptures in relation to himself. They realize that all of their expectations and hopes have been based on a misunderstanding, an idea of liberation and freedom that is not God's idea. And yet something in what he says must seem right, must open up a world for them that is expansive and gracious and free, for their hearts begin to burn within them. They invite the stranger to eat with them. At the table, he reminds them of another ordinary yet very special meal. For he takes bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he shares it out. Then they recognize him, and immediately he disappears. The disciples are galvanized. Even though it's growing dark, even though the roads are dangerous, that very same hour they get up and they rush back to Jerusalem, back to the site of all their confusion and despair, back to the place of violence. And there they tell the story. Why do we gather each week? Why do we do the same things over and over and over again? Confess our sins, listen to the scriptures, interpret them in our context, and pray and eat together. What is the point? Surely we can read about Jesus and pray and be Christians all alone and on our own time. Surely we can encounter the Christ in everyday life and notice and give thanks. Perhaps it's possible, but in practice, in history, this is not how God's people do things. Each one of us is shaped by values and attitudes and ways of being, which are not God's ways. For we all live and work and play in a culture that is not God's culture. For all our best efforts, simply by being alive and participating in this society, we internalize this society's values, the violence of patriarchy, the economics of capitalism, the contradictions of democracy, and many other assumptions about the world. And all of us are busy. We live in the age of resurrection. We live in the superabundant presence of Christ when every single thing is saturated by his Spirit. And even so, most of the time, most of us don't notice the presence and don't live into God's culture. It takes discipline, commitment, and community to open our eyes. It takes tried and true practices to help us become aware of our culture and to choose God's culture in all that we do. How then do we learn to recognize Christ's presence, the presence which guides us into this culture and which guarantees abundant life? Tonight's story shows us the way. Luke begins with disciples who have gathered together. But they have gathered in confusion and despair. They have turned their backs on Jerusalem. Perhaps they're feeling angry or confused or skeptical about their faith. Perhaps they've lost courage or hope. But they tell the stranger everything. And this sounds a lot like confession. Next, a stranger tells the scriptures to them and explains them. He does it in a way which unsettles and disrupts their previous assumptions. It transforms their understanding and their worldview. It stirs them up and it begins to open their eyes. And that sounds a lot like good preaching. The disciples invite the stranger to eat with them. At the table, the stranger blesses, breaks, and shares bread. And in that moment, the disciples recognize Christ. And that sounds a lot like the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. They are so electrified by this encounter that they risk wolves and robbers, the predators of night, and they rush back to the site of their despair. And they tell everyone about everything that just happened. And this sounds a lot like the sending out and Jesus' command to witness. According to Luke, then, it is in gathering together, naming our fears and doubts, wrestling with the scriptures and breaking bread, that disciples recognize Christ. And when they recognize him, disciples share the news with others. In other words, we encounter the Christ through the movements of a first century and a 21st century worship service. Now, let's be clear what I'm not saying. I am not saying that I or any preacher or presider embody Christ. What I am saying is that when we gather together around word and table, Christ is in our midst. And the Spirit works to communicate beyond any human right or action, to open our eyes to the presence and set our hearts burning within us. It may be in the preaching or the prayers, the bread or the silence, the mistakes or the chaos or the questions of a child. Somehow, somewhere, each time we gather around word and table, we will catch a glimpse of Christ. And that glimpse will sustain us and orient us back to God's culture, even as it helps us recognize Christ in other ways and other places and other times. For followers of Jesus, then, the worship service has always been and continues to be the primary practice which helps us recognize Christ's presence and internalize God's culture. And through our gathering and scattering, we take this awareness and this culture into all of our lives, letting them shape our decisions and our practices, our conversations and encounters, as we witness to the good of the Jesus-centered life. So that's it, folks. Gather with other disciples. Name your lack of faith, your doubts, and your fears. Listen to the scriptures and wrestle with them through the lens of Jesus Christ. Break bread, share wine, eat and drink together. Pay attention when your heart is set on fire. Go out and tell others about the experience. Repeat. Many other things will flow from this practice, but gathering together around word and table is at the heart of Christian formation and is the foundation of the Christian life. It's as ordinary and mysterious, as simple and as difficult as that.